We left off. We're in the middle of Siftes. And I was just pointing out a machlokas that's not so clear on the page of the Shulchan Aruch. The language of the Mechaber, as we pointed out, is ambiguous. What's the difference between when he says at the end, Yeshla Yovesis Kavua, Hoshi Yom Shloshim Pishenu Kavua, somehow there's a difference whether it's a Vesis Kavua or not. What applies only to a Vesis Kavua? So we said one way of reading is that, yeah, the Dika B'dievet is only for a Vesis Kavua, but the Dika afterwards B'dievet is only for Vesis Kavua, but the Dika L'chachila is Bein Kavua, Beinenu Kavua. Or do you say, no, the whole Sef, all the Dikas are only for Vesis Kavua? So I pointed out that if you look back on the Torah in the Beis Yosef, I think we read the line in the Beis Yosef a few times, that a Vesa Shein Kavua ain't a Tzricha B'dika B'yom Vesa Tzazeh. Beis Yosef sounds pretty clearly like there's no B'dika at all in Vesa Shein Kavua. However, not everyone agrees. The Prisha, I was looking at the Prisha at the end of the Siddur, but it's not there, it's in the Prisha earlier. There's this very long Prisha, Sefkat and Yod Ches. In the precious of Chut and Yud Ches, I'll just read you a line. It's a very simple. You can listen to what I'm reading. Af be'ein lo veses, even if she doesn't ves kavua, mikol makum shas osa ona asur l'shamish utzricha b'dika v'chachila be'esa ona el shem lo bad kam esa ona l'nidiyaved kas v'ras v'rabbeinu d'yesh lo veses tzricha l'ibdo gachar ona b'yad, etc. Obishas tash v'she'en kei be'ein lo veses. It says, either way, you have to be partial, you have to do b'dika l'chachila. The only difference in kavua and eino kavua is whether you have to do b'dika b'di'efet. So, if we're talking here about a veses she'eino kavua b'di'efet, for sure eino tzricha b'dika achakach. How about l'chachila? L'chachila, the Beis Yosef says, eino tzricha b'dika. While the Prisha says Sricha B'dika Bishas HaVeses Lechatchila. Okay, Beis Yosef is near the end. The Prisha is in the middle of Sefkat Yod Ches. Halacha L'maisa, very willing Paskins like Beis Yosef, that invest in Kavua, you don't have B'dika at all. But the Minhag Olam is pretty strongly like the Prisha. The Minhag Olam pretty universally nowadays is like the Prisha. So L'maisa, that's a pretty universal minhaga olam that even if it's a she'eino kavua, even if it could be mikra din, who says we have to pasuk like the prisha against the Beis Yosef? The ma'aseh, the pretty strong minhaga olam is that l'chatchila you have to do b'dika even if it's a she'eino kavua.
And that's b'shas haveses, but if she forgot,
everyone agrees she doesn't have to. Yeah. That everyone agrees. That's pashut. The only question is l'chatchila, if she remembers at the time, does she have to?
That's meaning that she thinks she's going to get it.
Right. Okay, a few other details from Sefkat and Tes that I promised to fill in. Two Pesachi Tshuvas here, quoting a couple of Chavos Dasses that are very, very machber. Pesachi Tshuva in the beginning, or the first Pesachi Tshuva, Sefkat and Yud Zayin, quotes a Chavos Das who says, if you remember, once upon a time, remember the Shach pointed this out, the Kviyas was for a certain hour. You're Porish the whole Ona, but the Kviyas was for a certain hour, 11 a.m. You're Porish the whole day, but the Vesas always comes at 11 a.m. So when you do the B'dika, obviously at 11 a.m., that's when you expect the Vesas to come. How about nowadays? Nowadays, we have our Vestos. We, as the Shach pointed out, we don't have a Shach Kavua. No one's so regular. The Vesas is just a certain day, whether it's Kavua, Ena Kavua, it's like all day. If the Vesas is all day, when do you do the B'dika? Good question. So, says the Chavos Das in Sefkat and Yud Zayin, what if she doesn't have a fixed hour? It's just sometime during the day. Or Ona Beinus, the 30th day. Right? Which has no fixed hour. Just keep the 30th days of Esses. Sricha B'dika kol ha'ona. If her Esses is all Ona. If there's no particular hour, she has to do B'dika the whole Ona long. All day long or all night long. How do you do B'dika all day long or all night long? Dahainu she'tasim moch dochok v'yisham kol ha'ona. She has to squish in a cloth, ba'osamakom, and leave it there for the entire ona. That way she'll be doing the medika, the whole ona. So if like she's a day ona before the sun rises, she has to put in a moch dachuk. Moch dachuk, moch just means a cloth. Dachuk means stuck in. And leave it there all day and take it out after Shkia Sachama. And that way she'll have done a medika, the whole ona. That's the sheet of the Chabas Das.
Is that
doing
medika?
What?
Is it like then you would never know until that day when you pull it out? No?
Okay. Well, she's Horish from Tashmas all day anyway, so she's not in a rush to know.
For Enochavul also?
What?
Is this for Enochavul also?
It's not clear.
Mentioned
right. Oh, well, he mentioned Bainus because Bainus, you never have a fixed hour. There can't be a fixed hour in Bainus because it's not based on what happened to you. It's just the day. So that's why he mentioned that. Like everyone's own Bainus is not a fixed hour. But I guess this
when
does seem to
relevant?
Apply. What?
When is Bainus relevant if you don't have
if you don't have a Bainus Kavula? Let me make a little. Well, this will become much clearer. Let's say you know Vesas Kavua, you have to keep your Vesas She'inu Kavua, like the last thing that happened, plus Ona Beinus. So he says Ona Beinus, that does seem to apply, not a Vesas She'inu Kavua. Okay, but at least in a Vesas Kavua and Ona Beinus, it's a fair deal. He says you have to do a Moch Dachuk for 12 hours.
What does he mean doing that and just being porridge all day until the end and doing it? Why did he say Moch Dachuk?
Because he says you need to do a Medika at the time, and the time is the whole Ona.
Because you might miss
it.
And then.
Right, because not just you might miss it, like, at what time should you do a bedika? If you do it at 11 o'clock, like, why is 11 o'clock good enough? You have to.
If you're being porridge the whole day, then just do it at the end of.
I hear what you're saying, but definitely a possible part. But he thinks that, no, there's a chiyav drabana besides tashmish. There's a chiyav drabana to a bedika during the vesis. Okay, this is a crazy chomer. No one holds of this Chavos Das. As a matter of fact, it would be very physically difficult to actually do. Can someone just volunteer to do that? Ivor, one example, all the Achronim are in the Chavos Das. One example I'll bring is the Chazon Ish.
Is it Kosher?
Yeah.
What's like the logic of the Derabbanan to do with the Dika? Anyone agree with it?
Because keep in mind, the logic of the Rabbanan is to do a bedika during the Vesas. Why isn't the Rabbanan do a bedika after the Vesas? No, you want to do a bedika.
No, I'm doing the bedika at all.
Because if there's dam, you should see it in the bedika before it has time to fall out. Do you need more?
Just one more.
I think there might be. No, I think I have. Yeah. No. Actually, I have three more. Okay. The logic is that if the dam comes during the Vesas, maybe you'll bleed and then the dam will fall out and you won't notice it and you won't know you became a Nida. So you have to dig it during the Vesas to check if you're a Nida before you give the dam time to fall out. So the Chavos Das is the whole day is the Ona, is the Vesas. Then you have to dig it the whole day because you never know when dam might come and it'll fall out. So says the Chazon Ish, if you look in Se'if Chaf Beis, your day as a kopei dal peskichum zukat benzayin that we just read. Haim shetitzos moch dacha calls that tamua. Dari nechti more to zayin al but kibshir vessel but kuzmana vessel kuli amla to tohori feel amla vessel to raisa mitzar moch dacha calls mana vessel to shayin lodu dikibshir vessel we haven't got the husband the yevit okay we don't have to go through his raya Let's just skip to the middle of Chaf Beis. You see there's a word v'hilkach, smack in the middle of this paragraph. Smack in the middle, and you know, word v'hilkach, after a comma, sagi b'bdika ba'onas avesis filopam achas. No, what do you need? You just need one b'dika during the ona, even once. If you didn't check it, you have to avesis. That's easy. Afilo him. Okay, let's remember where we left off. We'll continue. What does Chazon Ish say? He says that no, there's the kind of drabbana to be bodek during the Vesas. If there's a fixed shah, you're bodek at that shah. If there's not a fixed shah, there's the kind of be bodek during the Vesas. So the whole owner of the Vesas, do a bedika during the Vesas. They want the kind of one to do a bedika during all of the Vesas. Do a bedika during the Vesas. So a bedika any time counts. So the Mike said these are two. So what about A? Onas HaVesas B'li Shah Kavua. Right, so the Chavos Das says, Moch Dachuk. You need to do a bedika during the whole Vesas. The Chazon Ish says, no. Ham achas. There's a lot of it. Yeah.
Would you know? Would a woman know that she was getting her buried if there was a milk?
You mean when she had a hargasha if there was a milk dachluk?
I mean, I say she has a milk dachluk in the morning, and then at midday she gets her period, so she wouldn't know until she took it out, and then she would feel her issues of other people.
Of what?
Of like touching her husband.
No, I mean,
she know?
She would be just as likely to know as if she didn't have a mochtachok. Means if, you know, might drip out a mochtachok and she'd feel it on her underwear, or she might, you know, in the old days have hargasha. I'm just saying, what if it's a stam day and a woman sees at night that she got her period because she finds something on her underwear and she didn't know all day? Okay, she was cheskes tara. She was allowed to be naked all day. So here also.
Well, not fresh.
Right. The truth is, through Cheskes Tara, we would say she didn't become a Nida until the end of the day. So we wouldn't even think that Mafreya she was a Nida. Because the rule of Cheskes Tara is we assume if something changed, it changed as late as possible. Because you don't want the status quo to change earlier. So that's the general rule. Cheskes Tara, not a problem. So there are many in-between shitas also. There are some who say you have to do like the beginning of the Ona and the end of the Ona, and that chaps. Some will say Dafka at the end of the Ona. Then you could see if any blood came and didn't fall out during the whole Ona. Okay, there are many different shitas out there. Like, there are many things in between the Chazon Ish and the Chavos Das. Right? Both the Chazon Ish and the Chavos Das, you know, the Chavos Das says the whole time. The Chazon Ish says during the time. But Chazal didn't say the whole time, they just said during the time. So anytime during the time. Halacha l'maisa, we paskin like the Chazon Ish. There are some people who are a little more machmir, who say, like, beginning and end, and then sort of like that. No, chops the middle somehow. But the ma'aseh we pass like the Chazon Ish, she should do one bedikah during the veses. Obviously, it would make more sense and common sense to do bedikah towards the end of the veses. Because that way, like, she could see if anything came and didn't fall out during the veses. But me'ikar did just one bedikah during the veses. That's the kind of rabbanan to bedikah during the veses. If the whole day is your veses, then do one bedikah during the whole day. That's how we pass it.
The Chazon Ish being makel, or was he concerned about it falling out? He just...
No, he just thought that was the takana. He wasn't, I don't think he was worried about practically where the dam would go. He just thought takana d'rabbanan was to do a bedika during the veses. And he couldn't think, and maybe he just didn't think it was more logical to do it one point than the other point. And he didn't see a makor to do more than one. So, you know, whenever you do it, you're taking a chance on something, missing something. So he said once during the veses. That's how we paskin, once during the veses. The day veses, once during the day. The night veses, once during the night.
What's he concerned about being together after the veses cook while we're ready to check? 11 a.m. Why
do you have to wait for the rest of the one? Because there's a difference between the bedika and the prisha. What's the logic of the bedika? The difference?
The sustenance didn't come out.
The logic of the difference is this. Is that the why do you have to be porish all day? Why do you have to be porish one moment during the day? The difference is because if they're porish and she becomes a nida, sorry, if they're together, if they have relations and she becomes a nida, they're in big trouble. Right? And therefore, she has to be porish all day. But what if she bleeds? They're not necessarily in big trouble. If she bleeds, ben astam, she'll notice it anyway at some point. You know, so why don't we do bedika? It's an extra zikiras to do bedika. Probably she'll notice even without a bedika whether she bleeds or not. Right? Nowadays, let's say a woman never did a bedika. That means she never noticed if she got her period. Of course she noticed if she got her period. So therefore, by the prisha for relations, that's necessary to avoid a big avera, so that you have to be porish all day. But I think that's extra zikir. Really, as long as you just think and keep your wits about you, you'll probably notice without a bedika. It's an extra zikir to a bedika, and that extra zikir is good enough once during the day. L'alachamai said that's how we pass it. No one does like the Chavos Das in the entire world. That's like, you know, I mean, it's a theoretical sheet, but no one does that. And some people say, two bedikas. Okay, the Badei HaShulchan cites three bedikas. One in the beginning, one in the end, and then one right afterwards, in case you didn't chop close enough to the end. Okay, some people do two bedikas, some people do three bedikas, some people do one bedika. We hold one bedika, and that is good enough. Halacha l'maisa. The next pesach Shuvi Yud Ches quotes a tremendous chumrah of the Chavos Das. For some reason, the Chavos Das has a lot of chumras right here on this page. The Chavos Das makes a diuk in the mechaber. Says the mechaber, let's read again. Sef Tes Shar Noshim Tzuchos Bedika Kshei Gia Veses. Of our vessels below blood, come below here, Gisha, the horror below Bedika. The Yeshomrim Shasura Achetivduk, which is what we hold. What's the Lashon Chaber? Avar Havesas Vlobodka Velo Hirgisha.
Right?
Avar Havesas Vlobodka Velo Hirgisha. Then one opinion is Tehora. And one opinion is Tor Globodika or Asura Achatimduk. Or Asura Ad Shetivdok, and we paskin this opinion. Now, why does the Machaber have to say Lo Hirgisha? So, this is a big machlokes haposkin. Says the Chavos Das, he makes a big diok in this Machaber. Says the Chavos Das, the only reason she's tahora after the Veses is because Lo Hirgisha is evident she didn't get her period. So, well, let me write two different ways of explaining this. One way of explaining this is Hirgisha would be Tmeya. Obviously, if she had Argosha that she bled, she'd be Tmeya. That's obvious. That's what he's saying. He's just telling us something obvious. Hirgisha would be Tmeya because then she'd feel she got her period. Right? So maybe he's just telling us something obvious. Hirgisha would be Tamea. But what if Lo Yada Haim Hirgisha O Lo Hirgisha? Then she'd be Tahora. The Chaver's not giving us a big chiddush. He's just saying if she had Argosha, she's Tamea because she felt her period coming. Which is an obvious. See, the every two words in the Chaver don't be a chiddush. She's not the Chosh. Right? And what if she doesn't know if she had Argosha or not? Then she's okay. The Chavos Das has a different shot. He says the Machaber is making a big chiddush. Lo Hirgisha is evidence that counters the Chezkas Gimel Pa'amim. She asks, what's the Chezkas Gimel Pa'amim? Let's remember, the Chezkas Gimel Pa'amim is that she saw what's a day 34, get a day 34, get a day 34. Now day 34 comes, you learn for sure what she should be close to her besis. Lo Hirgisha is evidence that counters the Chazaka three times and makes her Tahora. And therefore, she is Tahora. But what if Lo Yada Ha'im Hirgisha? Oh, Lo Hirgisha. What if she has no evidence? Then she would be Tamea. That's the tremendous chiddush of the Chavos Das. Really, the Chezkas Gimel Pa'amim, the Veses would make her Tamei, unless she has a counter evidence from the lack of Hargusha that's been tire her. In which case, the Machaber is making a big chiddush. He's reading a lot into these two words. The Lo Hirgisha. The Machaber is saying, the only reason Vestos are Drabanan are because Lo Hirgisha. Yeah, if Lo Hirgisha, that counters the Chezkas Gimel Pa'amim, and that makes her Tahora. But if not for the Kula evidence of Lo Hirgisha, she would be Tamei. Again, another way of putting these two possibilities is that one possibility is that after the Veses, she's Tameya, unless Hirgisha. And that's how I would have read the Machaber. Says the Chavos Das, no. He says after the Veses, one way is after the Veses, she's Tahora unless she was Hirgisha. Yeah, Veses Drabanan, we don't really think she got her period. Just as the Hiris Lechatchila. The way he reads it, no, after the Veses, she's Tamea. Veses are very serious. Unless Lo Hirgisha. Unless she says, no, I have proof I didn't get my period because Lo Hirgisha. What's the difference? It seems like it's saying the same thing, so I already wrote the difference. What if she doesn't know if she was Hirgisha or not? According to Chavos Das's way, she's Tamei unless she has a proof, unless she brings evidence of e-Hargasha, of non-Hargasha. What if she doesn't know if she had Hargasha or not? Then she's Tamei. According to the first way, which I think is a more Pashut way, she's Tamei after the Veses, unless you have evidence of Tuma, of Hargasha. What's the Nafgamina? The Nafgamina is what the Pesach Tshuva says in Yud Ches. What if she did a Bedika and lost the cloth before she had a chance to check it? The Gemara says,
"Daft Nun Vavon Beis."
case this would be, that when a woman's doing a bedikah, she can't really feel if she had hargasha or not, because she feels the bedikah cloth. So it says, the Chavos Das, if she did a bedikah and lost the cloth, and she doesn't know it was there, then she's tveya, because she has no evidence that she didn't have hargasha. Maybe she did have her hargasha while she was doing the bedikah. The Pesach Teshuvah that goes further and makes this a bit of a reductio ad absurdum, although he considers it to be a valid psak. It says, what if she went to the bathroom during the Besses? When she goes to the bathroom, she can't tell if she has hargasha or not, because she feels going to the bathroom. And therefore, if she goes to her bathroom during the Besses, she's tveya.
Can we use rov? The amount of minutes in the time of the Besses? Is it statistically like almost impossible that it'll be during the exact 1 minute in the bathroom?
That is a great question. Now, the truth is that in this particular piece, he doesn't deal with the question of whether there's a 1 minute or whether it's the whole 12 hours. Although people say, what do you mean? Would you be machmir on the whole 12 hours? But you're saying, no, maybe if there is a shal kavua, like in the old days, that's when they were machmir. But nowadays, when it's 12 hours, they would say, just because you didn't check for a small portion of it doesn't mean anything. That is a... Right. It's interesting. He doesn't say how to combine this one with the previous sukkah. Like, would he be machmir even if your vest is all day, or only if your vest is 1 minute? You know, if he's only machmir your vest is 1 minute, then it's not such a big chumrah. If he's machmir your vest is all day, then it's an impossible chumrah. Everyone goes to the bathroom once a day. That's ridiculous. So you're right. To defend the Chavos Das, maybe I'd say he didn't need to combine this chumrah with his last chumrah. No, he only meant under the fiksha, otherwise you go by the road, like Ellie said. He says very little. She says like 3 lines. But
even if it's a fiksha, that's still like...
No, if the fiksha is at 11 o'clock to 11:01, and you go to the bathroom at 11 o'clock, sha doesn't have to be an hour. Sha probably means minutes.
So people used to know the periods of the minute. Do they still?
No.
And even the women
that... No, I don't think it's shkiach nowadays, the soma doyek.
Is there a range?
I'm not a scientist. I'm just a rabbi, so I only know because women ask me shaylos and they tell me like this is my best set, that's my best set, and they always tell me which days. I never ask them at which hour, so I don't know. Maybe there's some scientists who know, but I only know from my shaylos. So that's where I get my statistics from. I just say no. Maybe your statistics aren't representative of everyone else because I don't know. Only certain types of people ask me shaylos. All right, doesn't make a difference. It's just statistics.
Is reading into the words of the Shulchan Aruch, or
he's reading it the way he's been dived from the words of the Shulchan Aruch. Yes. Says the Chazon Ish, where we left off about this, he says, this case of the Chavos Das, just do a bedikah later and you're okay. And that's obvious in the Shulchan Aruch. Eloi didn't even tell him by replying to me. Yeah, badly lo yu sosman came into her matzah. He got a robe lo yu ilo b'dika. Ich shmi go foskim ikar zeh. Okay, he says, you know what? If going to the bathroom is a problem, the Shulchan Aruch would have said so. Like someone would have said it before the Chavos Das, it was true. It's too big of a chiddush that it's a diok that no one said before the Chavos Das. The Maisa, all the Achronim Paskin, and stuff. What's all the Achronim? She can find someone. The vast majority of the Achronim Paskin against the Chavos Das here. This the Psak of the Chavos Das, but this is how we Paskin, right? This is the Chazon Ish. Although, when I call the Chazon Ish, I don't mean to say until the Chazon Ish, right? There are a couple hundred years past the Chavos Das. The Chavos Das lived in the 1700s. The Chazon Ish lived in the 1900s. I don't mean the Chazon Ish is the first one to argue the Chavos Das. He just like has it all in one paragraph. Most of Achronim argue that.
Could I just repeat the distinction where she lost the...
Yes, if she did a bedikah and lost the cloth, and then she doesn't know if she had a hargasha or not, because maybe she had a hargasha while doing the bedikah, and therefore if she doesn't know if she had a hargasha or not, she's tmeya. So paskin is the Chavos Das, and then the Pesachei Tshuva extends it to Meir Glein to go to that. Yeah, that's what he sounds like. It sounds like a crazy kiddush, but that's what it sounds like. Yeah. And it sounds like it doesn't help to do bedikah afterwards. Yeah, right. No, because it doesn't help to do bedikah afterwards. You already messed up. That's a big chiddush. And I agree with Ellie. It could be that's only if it's a specific time, even though he doesn't say one way or the other. Because otherwise, like, he knows what he's saying is against, it is totally, or actually, You have to either restrict him to a specific time, or you have to say he didn't mean for going to the bathroom only for bdika. Otherwise, it's in the door. So, okay, lemaisa, so we don't pasta like him anyway. You should just know, not everything pesach tshuva means we pasta like it. You have to look in the later achron. There's a third din from the Chavos Da'as here, which you also don't pasta like the pesach tshuva yudches, but it's not discussed in this. Chazanish, because it's really more discussed by the Chronicle of Pei Test, says the Chavos Da'as, if she went, the owner of her veses, and she didn't see any blood, she didn't feel anything, didn't see any blood, but she forgot to do a bedika, then it doesn't count as an akira. You can't be okir the veses. Right? Remember, if it doesn't happen three times, it's an akar. Can't be okir the veses without a bedika. Because how do you know you didn't see dam? The Achronim later on Simchot Pei Test say very clearly, no. But the evidence, if you do bedika afterwards, that's good enough, and that counts as the Oker the Veses. So the Maaseh, we have three Pesach in the Chavos Da'as and the two Pesachei Tshuvas, and we don't pass like either of them. Not to worry, second last Pesachei Tshuva, like another Chavos Da'as, we don't pass like.
But the
bedika
is not here to get rid of the
Veses. Yes, the Achronim admit that you have to do bedika at some point. To get rid of the veses. I mean, let's say, I don't know, she just like forgets about everything and goes 3 months and doesn't see anything and doesn't do any bedikas whatsoever, that wouldn't count as an akira. She has to, if not doing bedika during, she has to at least do the bedika afterwards to count as an akira. That seems to be that's going to be a problem. Let's move on to Sif Yud then. Sif Yud says the Gemara that a man has to be poked ishto, and here, this is the problem, right? The problem of euphemisms. We always use Lashon HaKi and euphemisms, and then sometimes it becomes unclear what we mean by it. Right? When you start teaching your kids Chumash and everything, and you talk about, like, sleeping with, and then they get very confused, like, you know, does that mean, like, when their Abba puts them to sleep, sleeping with, or is that a euphemism for something? So it's always tricky when you use euphemisms. This is one of these tricky cases. It says in the first thing, Mar, someone who's going on the road has a chi of ona. And this basic halacha, so far, doesn't belong to me, that belongs to Helvus Ishus. It's a chi of ona, part of the mitzvah of ona, said the husband's going on a trip, he has to pocate his wife. Why is it relevant if it's needed? Because Mar adds, even samach levesta. Samach levesta means the ona of the veses. Even the ona of the veses, he still has to be pocated his, wife. What does it mean to pocate his wife? So the pashut shot is, what does it mean to pocate his wife? You know, it's a nice lashon for conjugal relations, right? And that's what almost all the rishonim say. He says, "Ramav afilu v'tashmish shari." That means tashmish, and then it's a big chiddush. The chiddush is that's even in the onus haveses when there's an iser tashmish, they were matter for yotzei l'derech. Why? Since Vestos are drabanan, they were matter for Yotzei L'derech. Okay, that is the mainstream shot in the Rishonim. That, they made an exception. Oh, not every Yisrael drabanan you're allowed to do for a mitzvah. Right? We know the Mishnah Rosh Hashanah says you can't climb a tree in order to get a shofar. Right? Can't do a rabbanan just do a mitzvah. That's the general rule in Kultur Kula. Okay, but in some cases, Chazal, on a case-by-case basis, decided to make exceptions. And this is a case-by-case exception. The Issur Rabbanan of Prisha Samach Lebeses, Chazal were matir for the sake of the mitzvah's own of Yotzei L'Derech. The husband's going away on the road. Especially in the old days, it was a big deal to go away on the road. It was a very difficult thing for the wife. Even nowadays, very difficult for the wife when the husband goes away. Nowadays we have cell phones. Once upon a time, she out of touch with him for a year, right? So it's very hard to move away. So for that mitzvah of Ona, Chazal were matir the iser of a priest of Samach Lebesis.
And what is that? Chiyuv b'tachmis. This is something that's a chiyuv Ona. It sounds like you have a chiyuv to do something, and that thing that you do could be tachmis, but it could be other things.
I'm not convinced. I think it's just by contrast to Rabbeinu Tam. Because what's he coming? I think it's about Fugim Ritam. What does Rabbeinu Tam say? Rabbeinu Tam says can't be. Rabbeinu Tam says just doesn't make sense. We're not usually Matur Isurim just to do a mitzvah. Meaning in 99% in all of Shas, we're not matter even Mr. Rabbanan to a mitzvah. Kol Shekein, the Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Chassam Sofer, the Noda Behuda, he quotes the Chassam Sofer, the Noda Behuda agree. They think, remember, they think it's Mr. Doraisa L'chachiba. So obviously it's not happening to be matter. But even Mr. Rabbanan, you know, we're not usually matter. So says Rabbeinu Tam, no. Rabbeinu Tam says, he's a Shittas Yachid. He says, it didn't mean Biyah. Didn't mean Tashmish. That one wouldn't be matter. What did it mean? It meant Shar Kravos. It meant Shar Kravos. It meant he had to be poking. Poking? Never said Mashamish Bitasa, just said poking. Poking means he has to pay attention to her. You know, he has to have physical closeness that's not Tashmish, and he has to talk to her and pay attention to her, etc., to show her that he's sad to be leaving her and he'll miss her. So she won't feel abandoned.
Why would it be
Milchus Nida? So the answer is that even Samach Levesta, that it's even Motzer Samach Levesta. Now here is a nice cheshbon. Where the remember the Truma Zedeshin said Chibuk V'Nishuk is Aser Samach Levestas? Where did he get that idea from? He got that idea from Rabbeinu Tam. Why do they need to be Matur Shar Krivos for Yilz of the Derech? Must be they're generally Aser. But on the other, Rishonim say differently. They say that no, the Chiddush is you might have thought that by a Yotze L'derech you should be Machmer and Chibuk V'Nishuk because you know, there's such a temptation. So Kamash Malam, then no, even by Yotze Derech or Matur Chibuk V'Nishuk. But obviously by regular one, we're regular case or Matur Chibuk V'Nishuk. Okay, so it's not a proof, but that's the mucker of the Truma Zedeshin. So let's, here we have Yotze L'derech. He is Poked S. Ishto. Maybe that means Tashmish. This is Shar Rishonim. Say it means Tashmish. That's obviously the Pashup Shat. And the Svara is that Rabbanon Hitiru Isad Rabbanon Lutzorech Mitzvah on a case-by-case basis, not as a general rule. But, says Rabbeinu Tam, no. It means Shar Kravos, right? Or, you know, maybe Divrei Ritzoi, it's, you know, Yesh Lodin and Shita Rabbeinu Tam, but let's say Shar Kravos, it just means other type of Korva, right? And what's the Svara? The Svara is either we're not Matter even Isad Rabbanan Lutzorech Mitzvah as a general rule, or Lefi, the Noda Behuda and the Chassam Sofer, Aser Mida Oraisa L'Shamish, you know, Be'onas Havesis. Okay, so according to the Chassam Sofer, the Oraisa obviously don't have any matter. According to the but even if you don't say like them, even if it's Rabbanan, maybe we're not matzah. So Rabbeinu Tam has good logic behind him. It's just not shot in the Gemara.
The Truma Sedition's Chumrah comes from the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam.
Correct.
He doesn't think it's Lahalal.
What?
The Truma Sedition. He doesn't think it's Lahalal for the Truma Sedition, but he's
no, he does. He
said it's Chumrah when we did it.
Oh, the Truma Sedition himself.
Yes.
Was that?
Can you pass from Rabbeinu Tam?
Oh,
or
one second. The Shach said there's a Chumra. Are you correct that that's what the Truma Zedeshin himself said? If so, it would make sense. I just want to make sure that you are correct in what you're saying. Sifbeis in the
we should pass that. It sounds like it's stacked in some schedule.
Yeah. The Truma Zedeshin is in the Beis Yosef. Here it is. I think so. I think it's hiding there. Truma Zedeshin. No, I think the Chuvas Nesher and Paskim is also. Okay. That's what it sounds like from the Beis Yosef. I don't know which Chuvas Nesher here. In Lamaisa, how do we Paskim? Let's see the Ramah. Says the Ramah. Umikol makom ha-machmer shalo lefokta rak v'divrei ritzoi tovel ha-bracha. Ah, it's proper to be machmer, like Rabbi Natan, and not do divrei ritzoi. Says the Shach, divrei ritzoi means even chibuk v'nishik, as he continues, kareis bar, d'chol minei korban yava, shari v'lam v'tashmash. Any type of korban yava is mutter except for tashmash. And the Shach says, yeah, and then we're not going to be machmer on chibuk v'nishik in this case, because even though, okay, not so posh to say the way in Reina Tam, but Lamaisa, most people say in Reina Tam he meant Chibuk V'Nishuk.
That's called being machmir in a case where presumably you're not doing this for yourself, you're doing it for your wife.
Yeah, I mean, every kumar is a kula and every kula is a kumar. For the respect of Hilchas Nida, you're being machmir, right? Lamaisa, or we're not being machmir. Lamaisa, how do we paskin? We paskin like the Ramah, meaning it could be that Rabbi Natan Shitas Yachin the Ikar Din there might be room to be Mekel, but it's proper to be Machmir, and I think you know, especially nowadays, most people go on trips. It's not like the old days, you know. It's not the end of the world. Usually, you come home in a week or two, and you're in touch, and you can talk on the phone. Meanwhile, I mean, who knows? Sometimes, you know, but it's pretty rare nowadays to go on a big trip. So the Maisa, it is proper to be machmer on this. So how does the Ramah paskin? Paskin's the Ramah. He says, Midina Tashmish is mutter, but it's proper. I know that's not his words. We'll use his words. Hamachmir Tavo Allah Bracha, which means it is proper to be machmer. And the Maisa, it's proper to be machmer on this. The Maisa is proper to be machmer on this. No, just on Tashmish.
Because he says,
Yeah, but then he continues and says, Zikvarnis ba'er d'chomine kor v'yavashori v'levad Tashmish, and the Shach says, even Chibuk v'nishuk, even though he wants to say a machmer and Chibuk v'nishuk tavo lo bracha, we're not going to be machmer. So, you know, no need to be machmer and Chibuk v'nishuk, but the Maisa says it's proper to be machmer in this case. What's the best thing to do? The best thing to do is what the Maharshal said, quoted in the Torah of Shlomim, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva Chav Gimel, best thing to do is to plan it so that you don't go on a derech during the veset, and then you avoid the situation. Or really, Chachamina Barosho, you know, there's probably ways to avoid this situation. You know, someone could, Chachamina Barosho, okay, if he's leaving the veset, he could be Mishamish Mitaso, the Vesta beforehand, and then, you know, his wife will understand that it's just Vestos, and she won't feel like he's abandoning her. So the Maisa, it is proper to be machmer in this, and the best thing is to try and finesse the situation, if at all possible. That's the Pesach Tshuva Chof Gimel. There's a big discussion here of the in Sivkot and Chof Beis, if you're going to say there's room to be Mekel. At the end of Chav Beis, he goes to some sofa and says, there's no room to be Mekel, we have to pass like Rehim Tam. So I say that, be Porsh l'chachilas midoraisa. It's only this or afterwards that they're upon until you do Bedikah. But, let's say, according to the first opinion, in the Ikra Din, there's room to be Mekel. So, how about other Mokum mitzvahs besides Yotza the Derech, right? How about a Leil Tefillah? Right? How about it's for Mikvah night? It's a big mitzvah to be together on Mikvah night. How about if it's a wedding night? Big mitzvah to be together on the wedding night. This is a big machlokus in the poskim. The Knesset if doesn't want to be mekel, but most poskim are machmer. Most poskim said even the Rov Rishonim are mekel. We're only making by Yotzei L'Derech. Why? Because that's a mitzvah that you can't do tomorrow, because he's going to be gone. He's not coming home for 6 months. But all the other mitzvahs, yeah, it's a mitzvah that's to be together on the mikvah night, but they can also do it tomorrow, right? Yeah, it's a mitzvah to be together on the wedding night. They can also do it tomorrow. So it's not as big of a, it's as big of a mitzvah. It's not as big of a tzorech mitzvah, because you can always do it tomorrow. And therefore, the poskim here, the most poskim assume that even the kulam ikar din is only for Yotzei L'Derech, but it's a mitzvah that if you miss it, you missed it, and you're not going to be home for a, and you can't do it again for a long time. But a mitzvah that you can do tomorrow, that no one would be mekel, or not no one, the Knesset Yechezkel, but Rov would be How about a mitzvah, but you can do it tomorrow, such as mikveh night? Okay, if you don't have the other mikveh night, you're together on the next night. You know that you're not going anywhere. So then the Knesset Yechezkel says, this is also mutter, but Rov Achronim saying, no, this is Aser Lekulei Alma. No one's mastered that. When we said Chazal on a one-time basis, relax the Nisar Rabbanim for a mitzvah, that's only mitzvah. If you miss now, you miss the whole year. Not a mitzvah. If you miss now, you can do later. So the Maisa, we don't agree with that. Knesset Yechezkel. Okay. There are some discussion in the Achronim. What is the Vesa She'ino Kavu, which is more Kal? Maybe it could be more Mako. If it's the Vesa She'ino Kavu, maybe it could be more Mako. Yotze L'derech, which if you're going to be gone for a long time, I'd be Mako by Vesa She'ino Kavu, but we wouldn't necessarily run for every case. If it's not a big deal, I'd be Machber you for Vesa She'ino Kavu. What about fertility purposes? Fertility purposes is interesting. On the one hand, if you don't get pregnant this month, you can get pregnant next month. On the other hand, sometimes it's not so pashut. So that's an interesting question. What about for fertility purposes? Each case is different. I mean, there's all different cases on the fertility purposes. I mean, if you said fertility purposes, well, we're trying to get pregnant and want to maximize our odds, then I would say, okay, if you don't get pregnant this month, you'll get pregnant next month. If fertility purposes means like a big treatment and everything and v'chuli, then I think there might be room to be mako, but I have to think about the situation. Then I think there might be room to be mako. After all, it's a big mitzvah. Maybe even bigger. It's a bigger mitzvah than mitzvah soma. So if it's real, you know, an opportunity that's not a regular opportunity, then there really could be room to be mako. By Eina Kavua, Vesa Eina Kavua Pasha, but even by Vesa Kavua, maybe there'd be room to be Mako. But you really want to go back to the Pisvi Chuba Chav Gimel, Chacham Eina Baril Show, and see if you could plan in advance to avoid that situation, if at all possible, which I know is not always, possible. Okay, that's a good question. What else? Okay. The end of this Rambah quotes the Mibuka Yosef. The Mibuka Yosef argues on everyone else. Why did the Mibuka Yosef argue on everyone else? It's fascinating. The Mibuka Yosef agrees with Rabbeinu Tam's intuition, but not with his exegesis. What do I mean? The Nebuchadnezzar Yosef agrees with Rabbeinu Tam. It can't be they were matur tashmish during the Veses for a mitzvah. We're not matur or serious Eshrabanan. We're not matur and Eshrabanan for a mitzvah. He just says Rabbeinu Tam's right. It can't be that you can sleep with your wife in her Veses just because of the mitzvah of Ona. You're not matur even Eshrabanan for the sake of a mitzvah.
Is there a difference if the husband is going for a mitzvah?
It's a good point. Let's read one more line. The Gemara says mitzvah is different. V'im holech v'var mitzvah in tzorech lifkot ishto. If he's going for a mitzvah, he even if it's not the Veses, he doesn't have to sleep with his wife. Why? Because if he's going for a mitzvah, he doesn't want to miss his boat. He doesn't want to miss his train. And therefore, we say it's okay since he's going for a mitzvah, he doesn't have to be poking his wife before he leaves because he doesn't want to miss the boat and miss out on a mitzvah. Okay, obviously, if you're talking about Hilchos Ishus here, you'd have to use your judgment. The guy's going for a mitzvah, you know, and there's no chance that he'll miss his boat, then he should be poking his ishto. But it is interesting here, you know, he might miss his plane, right? We're saying he might miss his plane for the mitzvah. Does he have to be, what's more important, poking his ishto or making his plane? The answer is if he's going for business, poking his ishto. If he's going for a mitzvah, making the plane. You're also at Sechachamein of Rosho, figuring out a way to schedule your time well. But it is a, you know, and I think someone has to use their common sense just in terms of the life skills here. But interestingly, there's no chiyuv poking his ishto if you're going for a mitzvah. Why? All the Rishonim say, because you don't want to miss your boat and then you won't be able to do this important mitzvah. You know, obviously, it means like it's a an important mitzvah that requires a trek. The mukayosa is a different shot, but let me explain to you. It's a shita's yachid, but let me explain to you why he thought it was logical. On the one hand, you agree with Rabbi Natan. It can't be remater on iser bia midrabanan just for a mitzvah. On the other hand, it can't be that poked just means divrei ritzo or yochibok v'nishak, or, you know, we all know poked means tashmish. Give me a break, he said. Right? Don't give me a break. Obviously it means tashmish, but obviously it can't be a heter and tashmish during the veses. So what does he say? So he says, now, okay, he has to swallow a different dechak pill. Right? He says, veses doesn't mean when she's expecting her period. Veses means when she's toveling. The time she tovels. And what does he say? He says a person has to be poked his wife. A man has to be poked his wife before he goes, excuse me, on a trip. And it means even in the ona, some after her toveling. What does it mean, the ona, some after her toveling? Obviously, it can't be poked before she tovels. No, it means after the latest trip. If it's the owner before she tovels. If she's going to the mikvah a week later or 3 days later, he doesn't have to delay his trip. But if she's going to the mikvah within one ona, then how insulting is it for him to leave right before she goes to the mikvah? Then he has to delay his trip. And that's the Ramak quotes. He says, totally different shot. It has nothing to do with the kula and hilchas nida. It's just a chumra in hilchas ona. If a person's going on the derech, he has to be poked at his wife, and if she's going to the mikvah within one ona, he has to delay his trip and wait for her because it's very insulting for him to leave right before she goes to the mitzvah. This also would not apply if it's a mitzvah because then he shouldn't miss his boat. Halacha Lemaisa says the Shach about this. Do we pass him like this? The Ramah says Yesh Omer. Sounds like he's machber for it. Says the Shach in Chavtes that if the tzorich gadol nira we don't feel machber in this mukhi Yosef because it's a das yachid. So Lemaisa, if it's not a tzorich gadol, one should be machber like the mukhi Yosef. But if it's a tzorich gadol, there's really room to be makel against the Nebuchad Yosef. That's the Psak of the Shach in Sivkotan Chaf Tes. Okay. Let's move on to Yud Aleph then. Someone get the board. Sif Yud Aleph. Isha Shiyesh Lo Veses L'yamim Levad. Right, this is the Gemara near the end of the first parak. One has a veses for a certain amount of days. The yeshas vesta, and the veses comes. Kosher lovo leha achi shalena. Basically, just like the woman has to check during her veses, and if she doesn't check during her veses, she has to check afterwards, the husband has to check. She has to check physically. He has to check verbally with her to ask her if she got her period or not. Normally, you don't have to ask your wife if she got her period every day. When the Vesas comes, you have to ask your wife if she got her period or not. Right? It's usher for him to sleep with his wife until he asks her if she got her period or not, because he's chayiv in bedika. What do you mean? If he approaches his wife and wants to sleep with her, isn't it an argument from silence? Isn't shtika kodash? She doesn't object to sleeping with him. Doesn't that prove she didn't get her period? So the answer is no. You know, there's sometimes, especially in the old days, the women were very intimidated. And maybe she's just intimidated her husband, maybe even nowadays, okay, maybe, you know, not so much in our circles, but in, you know, less westernized or lower class circles, you know, often the woman is deathly afraid to say no to her husband for tashmish, because, I don't know, she's afraid he'll beat her up or something. Again, you know, maybe not in our economic class, but there are places in the world where it still works that way. And therefore, if he says to his wife, you know, I want to be mishamish, and she doesn't object, that is not a heter. He still, it's a veses, he didn't check. To check, he actually has to ask her, and she actually has to say that she didn't get her period. Okay.
What's shas veses?
Like the time.
Right after? This is-
what?
When is this?
What is the Gia Shas Vesta? It means he Gia or it passed. Let's say she always sees on day 34. then when day 34 comes, or after day 34.
34 the Nile immediately.
Right. 34 the Nile, right, sorry, okay, I apologize. Now I understand your question. It means after the Veses. After the Veses, he's not allowed to sleep with her unless he asks her if she's Anita. Correct, during the Veses, he's not allowed to sleep with her Mela, no matter what anyone says. After the Veses, he has to, just like she's a Chivadi, he is a Chivadi, he has to ask her if she got her period or not. And she has to say no. The Chavos Das, quoted in the Pesach Tshuva here, says, she has to actually sing she didn't get her period. What if she, what?
Being the mouth?
Yes. What if she just does a Maisa? What if she is awake and she comes and sleeps next to him? That's not good enough, because she didn't say she didn't get her period. Okay, the Aruch HaShulchan in the next siman says, that's crazy. Says, what difference does it make? If she's actively doing something, why is a maisa any less than a deeper? Usually a maisa is more than a deeper in halacha. So we don't possibly like this comes das. No, all Shulchan Aruch means is if he pressures her, he can't assume that she's not a nida. But if she does either a deeper or a maisa to, on her own initiative, say she's not a nida, and the Aruch HaShulchan even says, you know, there are some women who are, like, embarrassed to talk about it, and therefore they'd rather just go and, you know, and lie down next to their husband instead of saying they didn't get their period because that's more comfortable for them, and that's a normal thing to do. But whatever the case may be, the husband can assume that, what's the Chavos Das's woman? Chavos Das saying, just because she slept next to him doesn't mean she didn't get her period. Maybe she was just being forgetful and absent-minded. Therefore, you have to say it explicitly. The Aruch HaShulchan says, nah, that's not how Gnosis Yisrael work. When are you forgetful and absent-minded? They forget the Yisr Nida? No way. If she, of her own initiative, does something which would be forbidden if she was a Nida, she's obviously telling her husband that she's not a Nida. And we don't have to worry. Maybe she forgot that there's an Yisr Nida in the world.
But does he still have to ask?
He doesn't have to ask, of course.
I mean, he doesn't...
What if she tells him? She goes over to him and says, oh, my Veset passed, I didn't get my period. So he doesn't have to ask, right? It's only if they ask if she didn't tell him.
No, I'm saying if she just is a Maisa.
If she does a Maisa, the Chavos Das thinks he has to ask. But we don't pask in that way. If she does a Maisa, the Chavos Das thinks you still have to ask. Why? Because we don't trust Masim, because maybe they were done out of forgetfulness. Mm-hmm. And she forgot that Anita's not supposed to do this. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, that's crazy. No way. If she does a Maisa, she's obviously saying she's not Anita. So we pask that either a Debra or a Maisa is good enough. Right, if he doesn't know, he should ask her. But if she tells him, obviously that's good enough. And even if she does a Maisa, that's good enough. Obviously, within common sense. I'm not saying she accidentally passes him something which could totally be a moment of forgetfulness. But if she goes, and mom's like, she sleeps next to him in the bed, that's obviously the kind of Maisa that she wouldn't do if she's a Nida. And therefore, we don't think Hoshe, she forgot that when you're a Nida, you're not allowed to do that. No, come on, no one forgets that. That's ridiculous. Obviously, she's telling her husband she's not a Nida.
Bring this together with the previous one. If someone's being poked at each other and doing it with Tashmish, does he need to ask her if it's Tashmish or does...
That's interesting. Does he need to ask her before the Tashmish? Yeah. You would think yes. Right. You would think yes, because at least until now, I could see it both ways, but you would think yes. Okay, so am I saying we don't pass like this? Piskei Tshuva Chav Zayin, Kodim Chav Zdas. We pass it, she has to do something. But it could be either a Deber or a Maisa. She has to do something actively. It could be either a Deber or a Maisa, and that is good enough. Okay. The Ein La Veses. What if a woman doesn't have a Veses? Then the Gemara says, Yom Shloshon L'Riyasa Haviki Giyah Shas Vesta. The 30th day counts as the Veses. That's the idea of Ona Beinus. This is the mucker of the idea of Ona Beinus. Where does it say in Shas that if you don't have a Veses Kavua, there's an Ona Beinus? Where does it say the idea of Ona Beinus in Shas? It says right here on Daf Tes Vavam and Aleph, what does it say? It says that, first it says, all women are Becheskes Tarif. If the husband comes home for a trip, he can assume his what? Tes Vavam and Aleph. 15a. The husband comes home from a trip, he can assume his wife is Tahora if the Veses hasn't come yet. What if the Veses has come? Then it's not in the Gemara. Then it's not in the Gemara. But, and we'll question this in a moment, but Amar of Huna, Lo Shana El Sha'in La Veses. right? And lo shana el shlo yeshas vesta, yeshas vesta asura. Once the vestas comes, she is asura. Okay, we will skip one thing for a moment and then come back to it. Then the Gemara says that a little later. Yeah, here is. Behusha ba'mutza b'toch yimei onasa. That if she doesn't have a vestas, it depends if it's b'toch yimei onasa. What does it mean b'toch yimei onasa? So Rashi and Lushum say in the average ona, ona meinis. So here we see if she has a vestas, then he assumes she's permitted without checking until the time of the vestas, and after the time of the vestas, he has to check. What if she doesn't have a vestas? He assumes she's permitted till the ona, which Rashi and everyone says ona beinus, and after ona beinus he has to check, and that's when the Mechaber says ve'en lo vestas yom shlosh lo yasa, 30 days since her last period, ha'miki yashas vestas, that counts as her vestas. Okay, so that is the din of, that's the mukra of the din of ona beinus. From here we see, right, why didn't the Gemara say she doesn't have a vestas? She goes by her vestas she'ena kavua. So everyone has a vestas she'ena kavua, means happened once. Everyone has a period that happened once. What happened last month?
Regular.
No, okay, I'm talking about regular women. We see from here that no, the vestas she'ena kavua is not so chomer. You don't have to check afterwards. Here's where you get the idea. You don't have to check afterwards on a vestas she'ena kavua, right? Because the vestas she'ena kavua passed, they didn't say that was the best to check. But if the ona beinus is passed, the husband has to check. Here's where we get the rule. Let's just... it's going to be a little more complicated, but let's just put it here. What does the Gemara say about a fellow who comes home from the road? Right? A fellow who comes home from a trip. By the way, the Shach points out that the Gemara says whether she's awake or asleep, he doesn't have to check. He pointed out that doesn't mean she's mamash asleep. She's mamash asleep. There's no problem in Hilchas Nida. There's a problem in Hilchas Ishos. It means whether she's awake or groggy. It's not a problem in Hilchas Ishos, but you might say, oh, she's groggy, maybe you should be nervous that she's a Nida and she's just not thinking. No, it doesn't matter. She's the Cheskes Tara till her Vesis comes. So what's the din of a ba min haderech? We say if she has a vesas kavua, then after the vesas, he has to ask. If she doesn't have a vesas kavua, then what do we say? After ona beinonis, he has to ask. And what's the diuk? But after a vesas she'ena kavua, they don't say yes to ask. They don't say after the vesas, only after the ona beinonis, right? The diuk is after vesas she'ena kavua, he doesn't have to ask. Right? Meaning, let's say her vesas she'ena kavua was 25. Last month was 25-day interval. He doesn't have to ask after day 25. Because that's not so serious. It's just going to happen once. I know the Chachidu were Polish, but he doesn't have to ask. He has to ask after ona beinus. And from here we deduce from this, which is a Gemara, we make an extrapolation. We say, what about this is the man, right? What about the woman who didn't check during the Veset? So we say, If it's a Veses Kavua, she has to check. She's forbidden in Tashmis until she checks, right? Just like the husband has to check with her, she has to check with her body. She has to check, right? Asura l'shamesh ad shetidok. What if the Obeinus? She has to check. From here we see the Obeinus. Bidyevit is the same level of Chomer as a Veses Kavua. What is Ves Sheinu Kavua? Remember. Or really pass like Vesel's even Machila, she doesn't have to, but at the very least, the Diabed. She doesn't have to check. Nah, she's Muteris Miyad. Once it passed, she didn't notice any period. She doesn't have to assume any period. Right? Like when the husband comes home. He didn't notice anything. I mean, he was on the road, he certainly didn't notice anything. He doesn't have to worry about it. Best Shainikum was very nakal. Just as a Hebrew Lachila, even the Vedika Lachila, the minute is to do it. But it's not clear you have to. Certainly afterwards, you don't worry about it at all. Even if you're on the road, you can just assume that we're posh at 100% certain the period didn't come. I mean, as much as any chazak is certain, chazakistar is certain. However, these two are series. This is the opinion. Okay, this is what it says so far in the Shulchan Aruch. However, it gets a little tricky because the Gemara says explicitly that that's only mandamer vestos doraisa, but Rab Bar Chana says, even after the Ves says, he doesn't have to check. His Vestos are Garbonin. Says, hold on, if we pass the Vestos Garbonin, you don't have to check afterwards. What does that mean? Vestos are Garbonin, you don't have to check afterwards? That would be a big kula. Right? So, what does the Gemara say? L'manda Amar Vestos Garbonin Eino Tzarech Lishol. Here we get a machlokas we've shown him. The Rif and the Rambam versus all the other Rishonim. Say the Rif and the Rambam, they say, nope, since Vestos Rabbanan, there's no need to check afterwards. That's why the Ran said in this case, also no need to check afterwards. They said, nope, Kipshuto, that we paskin, there is no need to check at all afterwards. Basically, the husband can come home. If he left his wife Tahora, he can assume she's Tahora, even if 30 days passed. Doesn't matter. And according to the Rif and the Rambam, Rin equals Rif for Rambam, they say no. Doesn't have to. Yeah, he doesn't have to check. Right? And they would say the same thing on Venus. Well, doesn't have to. Ah! Don't you think eventually she'll get her period? No. Cheskes Tara, we don't really think she'll get her period. Vestos Garbonin, it's only Zahiris Lechatchila. You don't have to check afterwards. And the Ran says that they would also say here. She doesn't have to check. No. Vestos Garbonin means during the Vestas, be careful, but afterwards, assume you're fine. That's the sheet of the Rif of the Rambam. However, and that was quoted as a first day in Siftes. However, that's not what all the other Rishonim say. What do all the other Rishonim say? They say, no, don't read this Gemara in Tesvavim and Al-Kipshuto. Read it based on Tesvavim and Beis. What does it say in Tesvavim and Beis? It says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rav Shmuel, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Mechashe Yimei Vesta Uba Aleha. What does he say here? He says, no, he means, don't interpret Kipshuto. Interpret Al Pi Rav Yochanan in Amud Beis. What does it mean? It means that if you gave her long enough to go to mikvah, you can assume she's Tahora. It doesn't mean, no, it means that if it has been long enough after the Veses to Tovel, then you don't have to ask. Why not? Because of Sveik Sveika. Maybe she got her period in the Vestas, maybe she didn't. After all, Vestas were abundant. And even if she did get her period, maybe she told. Right? Because of Sveik Sveika. Because Ulai Rasa, or let's say, proper Aloch Limsh, Safek Rasa, Safek Lo Rasa, Va'afilu rasa, safek tavla, Safek lo tavla. That's what's called a sfeik sfeika. Maybe she didn't get her period in her beses, because beses are abundant. So maybe she didn't. And even if she did, maybe she tovled. So basically, nowadays, right, we will learn you have to wait 12 days to tovle after your period. So basically, if he went away and came home 5 or 6 days after a period, then of course he has to ask with her. Of course he assumes she's asura. But if he went away and came home 13 or 14 days after a period, he can assume she went to the mikvah. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. Let's just read the end of this. If it's been so long after the Vesa, she had enough time to count Shiv Nikim and Tobol Baal Levi and Tzarchla Shul, he can sleep with her and he doesn't have to ask. That's how we paskin. We paskin like the other Rishonim. Of course, even if Vesa is Rabbanan, you have to ask after the Veses or the Onabeinis, because still, you have to be Rabbanan, you have to check. But if it's a Sfeik Sfeika, even if she got her period, she probably went to the mikvah by now, then you don't even have to check. Okay, this whole Seif, I admit, is a little irrelevant halacha maisa nowadays. I think we just have different standards of communication nowadays. You know, generally, if the husband comes, first of all, even if the husband's on the road, they talk on a cell phone, so you're not in communication. And then when he comes home, the wife will probably tell him if she's an either or not without him having to use, you know, halachic principles to guess what to do. Okay, but nonetheless, in terms of halacha lemaisa, I don't know, he comes home and his wife says, in terms of halacha lemaisa, I don't really know if this sif is halacha lemaisa, because usually we have better communication, but theoretically, this would be the halacha we pass like the other Rishonim, after the Onabeinis or after the Vesas Kavua, he assumes she's an Ida. But if it's been long enough to tell, well, he can assume she's okay.
So we're going to give two examples where Vila Maisa, like, husband comes in after the trip and he wants to correct a bed, but the beds are together.
Aha.
And also he sees leftovers in the fridge and he wants to eat them or something like that.
Okay. So leftovers in the fridge might not be such a good example, because it's much better to eat her leftovers if she's not there. So if she's asleep, he can eat the leftovers even if she isn't eating them. How about going into the bed? So here this gets into another machlokes, which is when it says here he has to ask her, is that ask her before Tashmish or even ask her before other Kravos? So Rav Silverman was assuming that it's ask her even before other Kravos, therefore it would be enough Kamina. It's not so Pashtun, it's a big machlokes we've shown him whether you have to ask, in the case you have to ask for all Kravos or only for Tashmish. And it's been machlok zachronim. And the simple pshat is you should only have to ask for tashmish. Why? Because this is all part of the din of vestos. And we know vestos only ask for tashmish and don't ask for shar kreivos. So it's not so pashat that there's ever an iser that you have to ask for shar kreivos. So therefore, I'm not sure that's nafgamina. But lemaisa, what if it's, a little too close kreivos and you get a kibbutz benishim or something? Then you'd want to be machmer, perhaps. So the maisa, it might be might be something. But I'm not so convinced, because really, even though it's machlokes achronim, I think we should be mekel and shar kravos, that this sif is only asher bia, not shar kravos. In which case, then really, you shouldn't need to use this sif. So I'm not convinced that machmer.
I don't understand. She does the Rambam, who says you always need bedikos for kavua. Even for Kavua, you need for Tznius. You said he doesn't.
You're right. So I would. So the like for this part, it makes sense. For this part, just say the Rif, not the Rambam. What I mean is the Shita of the Rambam, if not for the Rambam himself, hit the other half of the Shita, which would be the Rif, because the Rif clearly disagrees with the Rambam about the general need for Bedikos. So it still worked for the Rif. So it's interesting. The Ran said the Rif and the Rambam. He meant theoretically. You're right. Okay, so much, I think, for Se'if Yud Aleph. Oh, one other interesting Ha'ara. First, let's do Se'if Yud Beis, then I'll make a Ha'ara. Se'if Yud Beis. Ha'yelav Veses Le'yamim Ule Veses Mivestos Ha'gof. What if she had a Veses? This is what's called Morkav. Morkav means, even a matter of Hebrew. Morkav means complex, combined. Literally, the heart kills to combine two things, right? Our kapha is a type of coin. What if she had a vessus for days and a vessus in her body? Like jumping, etc. The Gemara talks about a vessus. If a woman, every 30 days, if she jumps, she bleeds. Right? So it's only the combination of the maisa and the day that make her a nida. So what happens in that case? Do we say, let's say it's day 23 and jumping. Right? She likes gymnastics, she always jumps on day 23 and gets her period. So the husband comes home on day 24. What does he have to assume? So the Shulchan Aruch says, it's the first in the Gemara, came to Vesa told Maisa, Ema lo kapta lo rasa. Since it's been done on Maisa, we can assume she's Bechezkas Tara, because who says she jumped? And if she didn't jump, she wouldn't have gotten her period. Therefore, on day 24, he can assume she's Tahora. She might have jumped. Bechezkas Tara will assume she didn't jump till proven otherwise. Abal Choshesh, she's on a bainus, she's still young, but she has to keep it on a bainus for 30 days, because since she might not have jumped, so we won't assume she gets her period on day 23. But he pointed out, Zakana Drabbana, you know, the Vessas Kavua, they made you into that 30 days. So since here it's as if she doesn't have Vessas Kavua, they made it the kind of 30 days. So basically, if she sees 23 with jumping, she's in some ways more macher, in some ways more makel than a woman who sees 23 stop. She's more makel that after day 23 passes, she's not a surah. She's more macher that after day 30 passes, she is a surah. And then we get into a big confusion in the Shachir. What's the big confusion in the Shach? That the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch here, which is also the Lashon of the Tur, is Veses HaGuf. The problem is Veses HaGuf means Veses HaGuf in Siman Kuf Bei Tes, there's clear jargon. Now, this is a matter of jargon. What do I mean by jargon? I don't mean something bad by jargon. I just mean there's certain words, there are code words that you just have to know how they're used by the poskim. Veses haguf means a bodily symptom. There are two types of physical vestos. What kind of vestos are there in the world? There are calendrical vestos, right? Which have to do with the time. That's most of what we discuss, and most of what they teach in college classes. Then there are physical vestos. There are two kinds of physical vestos. There is, if I do something, it will make me bleed, like kfitza. And there is, I will feel something when I bleed, like cramps, right? Or the example is pihok and itosh, right? Flatulence and burping. Each of these have a machlokes we've shown what they are. But let's say flatulence and burping, or whatever it may be. You understand those two are very different. One is volitional. I can decide whether or not I jump or not. I can't decide whether or not I have symptoms in my body, flatulence and burping and cramps and whatever else it may be. Right? So, vestos haguf always means, in the jargon of the poskim, it always means bodily symptoms, like pihuk and itush. And now, the mechaber has one word that disturbs everyone.
Wait, does the pihuk and itush come simultaneously, or it causes the bleeding?
It comes simultaneously. It doesn't cause the bleeding. No. It's just a symptom. The difference between a cause and a symptom, right? The kfitza is the cause of the bleeding. The pihuk and the itush is the symptom of the bleeding. So now, everything makes sense except for the word mivestos haguf. What does he mean by... What does the Mechaber say? He says, Veses mi vestos haguf. Which sounds like it means a bodily symptom. That is very difficult, right? What does he mean? What does he mean? So, says the Shach, there are three pshat in what he means. Says the Shach, he means that every 26 days, she burps and she's rolling down.
But how do you know it's that
one?
Why are we assuming it's that one?
What? Vestos haguf generally means bodily symptoms inside your body.
And how do we explain the other, the kofetzas?
He says, kigon kfitza v'kayotzi ba. Kfitza, and the other Vesesakov. Now, you already see that it's a little funny. How is Vesesakov Kfitza Kayotziba, right? But that's how the Shachas suits. That's what Vesesakov means.
It explicitly says it's German.
But the Shach is so absolutely sure that Vestos and Gof means symptoms, that it must mean like Kfitza and the symptoms.
Yeah, but...
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Give me a second. And therefore, he says, what's the Svara? Now the Svara is very difficult. What do you mean maybe she didn't get her period in 26 because she didn't jump? She can't decide whether or not to burp. Right? What's the Svara? The Svara is... then it doesn't make any sense. Like, why does she not have Becheskes Isser after 26? After all, it's not up to her whether to burp or not. Let's assume Tzarech Iyun Dehare Chazoka She Tefahek Yetira. Therefore, the Shach, after going through like 50 lines, says the Mechaber makes no sense. What does Eli Weinstein say? Eli Weinstein so upset. He says, what do you mean, read the Mechaber? He says, the Vesavestagof, like Kfitza and other things. The Mechaber is saying here, I'm using the Vesavestagof in a different sense, to mean jumping and other volitional acts. What are other volitional acts besides jumping? So says the Torah Sashlomim here, for example, and the Siddur Torah, and the Kresi Place, quoting Peskei Tshuva. He says it means like other things, like eating garlic, which is another thing. Eating sharp foods is another thing. He didn't mean that kind of Vesavestagof. Okay. Eli says, that's Pashit. He meant a different kind of Vesesagof. Says the Torah Hashlomim, and who else did we quote? The Sibri Tara and the Kresu Plesi. He said, no, he means, and this is the meaning of Vesed HaGof in Simen Kof Peites. Says the, it's a unique usage of the words Veses HaGof. After all, he says, by Veses HaGof here, I mean Kfitza Kayotz Behem. Why am I not using Veses HaGof here the same way I'm using it in Simkon Pei Test? Maybe you didn't get Simkon Pei Test yet, and you shouldn't have a right to be confused. Right? Why are you confused? I didn't get Simkon Pei Test yet. Why be confused about five simanim from now? Just read it Kipshuto. Read it Kipshuto. A Veses in the body, like jumping, etc., means something you do. So what does he say? He means, like... eating sharp foods. Okay, then the svara is pashut, just like Kfitza. Of course, we don't assume she's becheskes or bechash tome after day 26, because just like maybe she didn't jump, maybe she didn't eat sharp foods. Okay, Eli says he thinks this is pashut. I tend to agree with Eli. Even though Beis Yosef is also confused with this pashut, it must have been just the, okay. The Chavos Das says something a little more clever. He's right, he's right logically. Says the Chavos Das, he says it is the meaning of Veses HaGuf in Simen Kof Pei Tes with a twist. He says there's two kinds of Vesed HaGof, and we'll see in Kofi Test it makes a big difference. Just if you use logic, it makes a big difference. I can tell you two women who have Vesed HaGof Morkov of 26 and burping. Rachel, every 26 days, burps and gets her period. So when day 26 comes and she burps, she gets her period. Leah, every 26 days, if she burps, she gets her period, and if not, not. And they're both, whenever it's day 26 and they burp, they get their period. What's the difference? Leah, whenever it's 26 and burping, gets her period, but there's no chazakah that in 26 she'll burp. Rachel, whenever it's 26 and burps, she gets her period, and every 26 she burps. Right? There's a subtle difference. He says, what's the case? Every 26 days, she might or might not burp. But if she burps, she's raw. If she burps, she bleeds. Okay, in this case, says the Chavos Das, we understand why. We understand this for the Mechaber. Even though it's not up to her whether or not she burps, since she might or might not, We'll assume nothing happened till proven otherwise, and we'll assume she is Becheskes Tara. What's the Svara? Pat. Kavan. Delo Yadinan Ha'im Pihaka Olo Pihaka Biyom Chafav Mokminan Becheskes Tara. Mokminan La Becheskes Tara. Okay, it just says yes, it means day 26 and burping, but with a twist. Not that she always burps and day 26 gets her period. If she burps, she gets her period. And therefore, we can assume she didn't burp till proven otherwise because of Becheskes Tara. Okay, and then the Mechaber makes sense. L'maisa, probably everyone agrees to everyone's halacha. They only disagree about Pshat of the Mechaber. They all agree, if every 26 days she burps and gets her period, then after 26, she's forbidden to her husband until he asks. They both agree if every 26 days, if she eats sharp food, she gets her period, then she's mutaris. We assume she didn't eat sharp foods. And they all agree, if every 26 days, she might or may not burp, but if she burps, she gets her period. We'll assume she didn't burp, Becheskes Tara, and assume she's still Tahora. Okay, so this only machlok is in Parshanut, not in Din, Lechora. Now, I just want to point out one big halacha l'maisa, nafkamina, of this discussion, before we go on.
Of that sarduf, like, is the mitzias this really happens kind of stuff?
So the here is an interesting thing, meaning most women, as we pointed out, have symptoms around the time they get their period. The question is, how meduyik, right? Meaning, I don't think any woman, as we mentioned earlier, has a symptom the moment the blood comes out of the Beit HaShinayim, right? But some women will have a symptom and say, I know I'm getting my period today, or I know I'm getting my period tomorrow. And then they would have a vesaguf. Most women nowadays don't have a vesaguf because there are symptoms in their body, but they're not regular. You know, like most women will say, ah, you know, if I feel this feeling, then I'll get my period sometime the next week. Okay, that's not a weepaskin, that sometime in the week is not a veses. Or, if I feel this way half the time, I'll get my period. Okay, that's not a veses. So it depends. Also, women, some women pay attention to their bodies more, some less. Theoretically, every woman can have a vesaguf if she really checked everything in her body. You know, you can take your temperature at the right way, at the right time, etc. You know, there's ways to figure out when you're getting your period if you really want to. You can take a blood test, you know. Okay, most women nowadays do not have a vesis aguf because, like, the things that are obvious to them, which all they're chayiv to keep track of, are not regular, but some women do.
Would something be a vesis aguf if every time it happens she gets her period, but it doesn't happen every month?
Yes, but that would not be morkov. That would be just whenever it happens she gets her period. Yes. That's not what we're discussing here, because we're discussing things that happen on days.
Right.
Because otherwise, like, that shaykh doesn't come back from the road, if it's not a day. But yes, we'll get to that. Okay. I want to point out one thing in the Ber Heitev here. The Ber Heitev, I think it's only the Ber Heitev. I think. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I see this as a shach l'taz. Unless I missed it. Look at the Ber Heitev, the end of Tes Zayin. Where do you get this from? Right, he starts by quoting the Taz in Sukkot to Zion. And then he says, V'ayim b'smag daf lamad Zion omad gimel. By the way, what does he mean by daf lamad Zion omad gimel? Was the smag, was the printing press of the smag in multi-dimensional space? Right? Is it a tesseract? So, in the old, if you notice, some old, many Svarim nowadays still are printed in two columns per amud. Right? Like a lot of things are printed two columns per amud. Like standard shot, right? Comes in two columns per amud. Masada Rav Kook comes in two columns per amud, right? The smag, most Svarim used to be printed in two columns per amud. Because if you think about it, if you're printing a sefer without mefarshim, then the lines are really long across the whole page. And it gets very hard to go to the next line without losing your place, if you ever try. So in the old days, most Sfarim were printed in two columns. They were printed in two columns. They had a lot of words in each column. Remember, it wasn't nowadays with paper was expensive and ink was expensive and everything was expensive then. They didn't have wide margins. They didn't have big fonts. So if there were no Mefarshim, you printed in two columns and you had a lot of information in each column. So it would be very inefficient to tell you which side of the page it was because you'd have to look through both columns. So in what were hyperlinks before there were hyperlinks? When they quote where something is. Mar Mekomos. A lot of Mar Mekomos in the old days, Amud Aleph meant the first column of the first side. Amud Bet meant the second column of the first side. Amud Gimel means the first column on the second side. And Amud Aleph means the second column on the second side. So if you ever see Amud Beis and it's not on what you think is Amud Beis, check if it's the second column of Amud Aleph. And if you ever see Amud Gimel or Amud Dalet, you know what they mean. Just go to what we call Amud Beis and look in the first column and the second column. Okay, that's not important now, but that's not what I want to point out. Ayin Bismagda, look at this Verhete at the end of Tesayin. Ayin Bismagda from Amud Gimel, Lam Zayin Amud Gimel, the Kasa, the Aser L'Isha Lam will be made to Masa. A woman shouldn't stay Anida. Elo Yeshua Litbo Miyad, she should tovo right away. Chen Kasa V'Achronim, and that's what the Achronim wrote. It's interesting, he makes a diuk from this Gemara. What's the diuk? According to Old Yishonim, if the husband comes home, he can say maybe she got a period, maybe she didn't, and even if she didn't get a period, probably she tovled. So the Sfag says, what do we see from here? We see from here that it's normal to tovo, even if your husband's away on the road and you don't know when he's coming home. So from here we see that even if, he doesn't mean if the husband's home, the woman should go to mikvah on time. If the husband's home and she doesn't go to mikvah on time, then he can sue her in court for that. That's merida against her marital duties. That's not the smart man. That's not the smart chiddush. That's obviously if the husband's home, she has to go to mikvah, or else she's picking a fight with him, and then their marriage is in trouble. We'll see later on Hilchos Tevila. There's Zohar which says it's very very chomer for the woman not to go to mikvah in order to fight with her husband. That's apparently a very bad thing. But that's not what the smog means. The smog means even if the husband's away on a boat and she doesn't know when he's coming home, she should still go to the mikvah and not stay in Nida. That's what the smog says. Now, it's not so obvious. Some of the Achronim say, no, that was only in the days of Tumah V'Tara. Well, of course you have to go to the mikvah right away because of Taras. It gets a little tricky after all, who knows if it's Bavel. No taras anyway, so okay. They say, nah. The smog says it's not because of Tumah V'Tara. It's because she should always tovel. Why should she always tovel? L'chora, because her husband might come home.
But as she knows the husband won't come home.
What?
If she knows the husband won't
come home. Let's say she knows for sure the husband won't come home because.
Why is that?
Because he's in Australia and she knows he hasn't left Australia, right? So he can possibly be home within a day. Then no. But what if you don't know? You know, often you don't know when your husband will come home. You know, I'm not a businessman who flies a lot, but I think real businessmen who fly a lot, like if their meeting ends earlier, they just try to get an earlier flight and get home earlier. I think that's like Makoto in the business world. That if you go someplace for a meeting for whatever, and you finish early, then you don't wait for your flight that you booked. You try to get an earlier flight. And I think it's in... Obviously, every business is different. But I think in a lot of businesses, the business will cover the change fee to get an earlier flight. I think that's a couple in the felt. So the truth is, even if your husband emailed you a copy of his itinerary, you're never sure when he's going to come home because maybe he'll make it home early. And those days, obviously, no one knew when their husband come home. From the smog, we see from here that he says we're going to die from here, that she, even if the husband's away on a business trip, she should total right away. This is a big, big machlokes, because that's what it seems like from the Rishonim. Some of the later Achronim had a minhag where they say, no, we're afraid of Shadim. The woman shouldn't tovel if her husband's away. Because if the woman tovels and then goes to sleep by herself, then the Shadim will attack her.
Pregnant her or attack her?
What?
Attack her?
They
wind up. Meaning, is it like a pregnation thing, or is it an attacking thing?
There seems to be some sexual overtones here. I'm not a Bucky in shade psychology.
And why do they have a problem whether or not she's in need?
Do they keep telling
what? She no, she went to the mikveh. They don't care if she's in need.
No, I'm saying take her anyway. She carries the shirt to the mikveh.
I don't know. I never met a shade. I don't know what they think.
They're pretty shady.
You know, it's hard. Yes. It's hard enough for me to understand how teenagers think. I certainly don't understand how, you know, shade them, which I guess are like the next step beyond, think. So, anyway, somehow if the shade them see she goes to the mikvah, and then she comes home, then there are many people over Minhag that she can't, against this smog, she can't go to the mikvah without her husband. Because then the Shaydim will see that she went to the mikveh and she has no man to protect her, and they will attack her.
That originated in Ahronim?
What?
Where's that come from? Is it originated in Ahronim?
Yeah, I don't remember where the original mucker is. Maybe I'll try to find it. Next time we touch on this in El Chisnita, I'll try to bring you a printed mucker. Anyway, this is a big machlokas, adas manazeh, what should you do? So the compromise is, they say, if she needs to go to the mikvah when her husband's away, she should keep a knife under her pillow, because that will scare away the shaitan. Okay, I'm a Talmud for Willig. I don't know if you know anything about Willig Shitas, but he says you're not allowed to go skiing because of sakana. He says you're not allowed to play hockey because of sakana. I'm pretty sure that he would not allow sleeping with a knife under your pillow unless it was like a pocket knife that was closed or something. Because it has to be a metal knife, I think, to scare away the shaitan. So, like, to mom, just take a big butcher knife and put it under your pillow? I don't know, it seems
no,
a little scary to me.
No, just sleep like a ramen under your pillow. It's a pocket knife in existence.
Perhaps, although the Rambam could be directly, it's a whole question of where you're allowed to put the Rambam under your pillow. But probably, you know, or any sort of next one. Anyway, halacha l'maisa, I do think it's common that men come home from trips before they plan to sometimes. So, I think that, you know, those who, if you wanted my advice, I would say if those who are not afraid of shaving should follow the smog. And that way, whenever their husband comes home, they'll be okay. Those who are more afraid of shaydim should just keep track very well of their husband. You know, keep in contact with their husband and tell their husband that it'd be very clear if he's coming home early, you should let them know so that they don't have an awkward situation when the husband comes home and they didn't go to the mikvah when they could have. Okay, but, you know, if you're going to put a knife under your pillow, you should. Fold it, you know, have a closed pocket knife so you won't accidentally cut yourself chas v'shalom. And I'm not sure how well that works for the shape. So, sorry. Anyway, l'maisa, okay, but, you know, those who want to rely on the smog, if you're not afraid of the shaydim, then you can rely on the smog, and then she doesn't have to worry about being awkward if her husband comes home. Okay. Simen, kuf pei hei. Sif aleph. Ha'isha she bechezkas tmeya. The end of Kof Pei Dalet is all if he left her when she was tahora. What if he left her when she was tmeya? If he left her when he was tmeya, then just like Chezkas Tara is very strong, Chezkas Tumah is very strong, then she's absolutely tmeya even if he left her enough days to go to the mikvah. Say, he left her when she was tmeya 2 days before mikvah night, and he comes home 2 days later, no, she's still a Chezkas Tumah. He can't assume she went to the mikvah. Oh, she normally goes to the mikvah. It doesn't matter. A cheska toma, you can't just assume that it went away. And therefore, if she's becheska tmeya, he's not allowed to sleep with his wife until she says tavalti. And here it would seem to be clear, he's not allowed to touch his wife until she says tavalti. Because she's becheska's nida until proven otherwise. And the fact that she usually probably would have gone to the mikvah is not good enough. The fact that the way it works out for the day she should have gone to the mikvah is not good enough. She has to say tavalti. You need actual evidence that she toveled. You can't assume that she toveled if you left her bechezkas tumah. Here we have the exact same machlokas I mentioned earlier. Pesach and Tshuva quotes the Chavos Das. The same Chavos Das. I don't mean the same Sivkat. A different Sivkat and a different Simon. The same sheet of the Chavos Das. What does Pesach and Tshuva here quote? Even if she goes and sleeps next to him, that doesn't help until she says the word tavalti. Because, like, if she didn't say tavalti, maybe she's just confused and forgot the halacha, etc., and made a mistake. The Aruch HaShulchan here says, no, that's crazy. He says, that's not true at all. What do you mean? She goes to her husband, she gives him a big hug and a kiss. What, you think she's a nida? And she gave him a big hug and a kiss? No, actions speak louder than words. And Kol Shekein, that we know she was tavalti. And the Minigolim is like the Aruch HaShulchan. You know, I don't know, every time a woman goes to the mikvah, she leaves the house and says, I'm going to the mikvah, I'll be back later. When she comes back, okay, there are some Chavos Das Yidden out there who say she has to come back, ring the doorbell, and say, I told. But that's not the Minigolim. The Minigolim is if she comes back and touches her husband, then he knows she must have told. Otherwise, what's she doing? And that is good enough. Unlike this Chavos Das. Minigolim is not like Chavos Das. Add the Ramah, Umeachsha over Yamsha Efshal Limnos Lipo. If enough days passed, she could have counted the Shivnikim and Tovol. Nemenes Afilu Roa Bigdeha Meluchlach and Medamenes. As long as enough days passed, she is believed. Okay, the Achronim here argue what's the Chiddush. Okay, regardless of what's the Chiddush. Point is that if it's impossible for her to be Tovol, she can't be believed. No one has Nemenes on something that's impossible. Let's say she got her period. And 6 days later, she says, oh, I count the Shiv Nikim and Tovot. Okay, that's impossible. You can't believe her. She says it's impossible. Even if she's your wife, and you really love her, and you trust her, you still can't believe someone on something impossible. But that's not the Chiddush Ramah. We all know that you can't believe something impossible. The Chiddush Ramah is, but as long as it's possible, even if it's unlikely, then if she says so, you believe her. Eidecha Neman Be'isurin. Therefore, feel the even if you see her clothing full of blood, she's believed to say, oh, that's because I was in the butcher shop. Again, in the old days, butcher shop means with a shekel, and there's a lot of blood. Or I had a bird, and there was a lot of blood in it. Or whatever the case may be. Again, nowadays, you'd have to come up with some other excuse, because our lives are a little, our foodstuffs are more sanitized. But she had to say, I had a cut. You know, then, but the point is that even if it looks suspicious, she still believed, and the shach says, what if you're not sure if she could have gotten the Hefzik Tara so early? It doesn't matter. As long as it's possible, then Eidechanem Besurim V'Safra La, the husband can believe his wife. The only time he can't believe his wife is if it's something impossible. If it's impossible, then what are you supposed to do? You can't believe someone if she says something impossible. Sivkam Bezim V'Sveitshuva is a very sad case. What if the woman is chashuda? She is actually caught. We know that she violates Isser Nida. Then it gets very tricky. You can't believe someone in Isseri if you know they violate it. So then he goes through a whole, hopefully we don't need this sad situation, goes through a whole discussion of when can the husband believe his wife if he's a firm guy and she's so not firm that she violates Isser Nida. Then it's a little tricky because you can't believe someone even if you're married to them. If you know they're not from and they don't keep this Isser, I mean, even if they're from, if they don't keep this Isser, you can't believe them, right? Even if someone's from except they eat treif, then you can't believe them on kashrus, right? Even if they're from except, except they were shatnes, then you can't believe them about shatnes, etc. So what if she just doesn't keep the Isser Nida, then the husband can't believe her better, so neither. And then he goes into the details. We're not going to have them now. When does she becheskes taro? When does she not? What can he believe? What can't he? I just want to point out an interesting psychological point. What does he say at the beginning here? At the beginning here, he says that if she's chasuda because she did znus when she was a nida, she's not suspected of sleeping with her husband when she's a nida. If she was machshel her husband in Nida once, she was caught sleeping with her husband in Nida, now she's not trusted on Nida anymore until she does a big tshuva. But what if she did znus when she was in Nida? You know, before she got married, she slept with her boyfriend when she was in Nida. Then do we say now that she got married, we suspect her of sleeping with her husband when she's in Nida? What if she was a big prutza? She slept with every boy in town when she was in Nida, you know, up to her wedding day. You know, whatever, okay, it's an exaggeration. And then she gets married, then it's an interesting psychological insight. We don't suspect her of violating Hilchos Nida in her marriage. And that's not a halachic thing. What do you mean? She did two Aviros, Nus and Nida, so why should she be chashed to do one Avir or just Nida? It's not because halach. It's because of psychology. Because, yeah, someone's tempted to do znos, so they don't think of, usually, of nida, nadas, or nida. They're tempted to do znos. They don't really have a kosher outlet. So therefore, they'll do everything wrong. But if they have a kosher outlet or the proper marriage or the bayis nem and b'Yisrael, then we don't suspect them to do wrong. This is so true nowadays. There are many people who, before they get married, they're not so strong at refraining from znos, and they sleep around, and I'm not talking about, I mentioned once, minority women who want to do znos, but want to go to the mikvah and not be chayiv karis, etc. That's the minority, that's some weird intellectual elite who like make all these like logical cheshbonos as to what logically makes sense. And not a regular person. Regular people, they sleep around and they don't worry about isher nida. And sometimes even they sleep with the guy they're marrying. Before they're married, they sleep with him, and they don't worry about isher nida. And it's very common in psychology, that's until they get married. It could be the same thing. She slept with 8 other guys, you know, since she was, however, you know, 16 years old, till she met this guy when she was a nida. For this guy, they lived together. They mamash lived together, and they slept together for 3 years till they got married when she was a nida. And now they have chuppah v'kiddushin. It's very common psychologically that now they're very serious about isher nida, and they're not chashed on violating anything. People just psychologically look at it differently and they take it more seriously. They see it differently. They say, no, now I'm married. Until now, I was doing things by Esther. Now I'm married. I'm doing things by Hector. I'm building a family. You want to do it right. And it is just, it's an important thing to know psychologically that just because someone, again, it doesn't make logical sense halachically. What do you mean? They did nos and nida. They're not going to do only nida. But psychologically, it makes sense. Then they were in a stage of Isser, they were sleeping around, they weren't doing things right. Then they weren't doing things right. Now they're doing things right. When you do things right, you do things right. And very often people will be very strict about Nida after, and we never sleep together in Nida after they're married, even though the same guy and the same girl slept together in Nida before they were married. It's a very common thing psychologically, and that's what the Pesachei Chu was referring to here, like I guess was common in his days. And it's common in our days as well. So that's an important thing to know. Like, don't say, oh, because these people didn't care about Nida before they were married. Therefore, what's the point? Come on, they don't care about Hilchos Nida now. What's the point of teaching them? Okay, I'm not guaranteeing they'll keep every prat of every, you know, harchaka, etc. But it's very common that they'll take Nida seriously after they're married because it's a different psychological place. And that's what's being referred to here. Maisim mamish, mamish b'chol yom. They lived together for 3 years without ever going to the mikvah, and they would never dream of being together after they got married without going to mikvah. Okay, it's just a different psychological place. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Okay, that's Sif Aleph. If there's any other questions,
is that if you like including deception, or that's just maybe she gets caught? Maybe she told her husband she was.
Yeah, Lachora, the case where she wouldn't be named her marriage if she deceived her husband, just because otherwise what's enough to mean?
Right.
If she and her husband willingly violated the Esr Nida, then neither of them care to ask a shayla afterwards.
Right, so saying it's not necessarily even a psychological difference. It could just be that one is deception, and then maybe she's the most honest woman in the world when she's before she's married, and she's telling the truth, and everyone knows she's
that's
married.
That's interesting.
She's got the deception, so she loses her nemanos.
You're saying you're reading him a different way. If she did, no, she didn't trick anyone. But if she tricked her husband, then she has no nemanos.
Right. You can believe the biggest advisor in the world because it's the truth.
That's okay. That's I hear the way you're reading this Chavos Das. Maybe that's what he meant, and I was just biased by you know the modern day life experiences. I think he's saying it differently. He's saying it actually maybe a little differently, closer to what I was saying. He's saying that, no, for a husband, she can wait until she does it right. And she's not chashed. As opposed to znos, where there's no one you know, waiting to do it right.
It's not actually tacit chuma in the Pesachei Chu, like, how many times do we give? Like, how long do they stay married to each other?
How do we know she did tshuva? That's a good question. How do we know if someone did tshuva? There's the whole discussion about this in the beginning of your day for Shochtim. How do we know if someone did tshuva? L'maisa, the real answer is that if she has acted in a way that seems like a very deep tshuva, then we'll rely on that. If it's sincere. What?
How much time do we give her? Like, they can't be together until...
No, it's not that they can't be together. She might just need certain evidence. She'll have to bring a receipt from the mikvah. You know, she'll have to. Even if he doesn't believe her, that doesn't mean they can't be together. That just means he can't trust her. She'll have to show him her bedika. She'll have to bring a receipt from the mikvah. She'll have to v'chuli v'chuli, right? Meaning, you know, it'll be awkward. Right. But there is a mechanism. Okay, I mean, I hear the logic of Eli say also, but I don't think that's what he's getting at. That's what he's getting at exactly here. Okay, we'll have to pick up Amir Sashem with Sif Bays next time. So, he's not always so machber, although he does tend to lean towards Chumrah. He is the Nesivos. Right?
So why did you get rejected like 5 times today?
It could be just coincidence. He is no telahachmer, but I wouldn't say he doesn't always have such bad stats. I think it's just coincidence. You know, he had a bad day today. He had a bad day today. Who knows? He is the Nesivos.